episode number 87 of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, a mini episode where I reveal three reasons why you should not be tracking your food. Listen, tracking your food is a really valuable tool that can teach you a lot, but there are particular circumstances where we as coaches don't recommend that you do this because it could actually be harmful to your mental health and more harmful than it could be beneficial for the things that you could learn from it. So we're going to go over all of that and identify three reasons that you should not be tracking your food. As always, if you like the podcast and you want to support it, all we ask is that you share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker who would benefit from it. One share can go a really long way and supports our mission to help as many people as possible to live a healthier, sustainable lifestyle. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode number 87, three reasons you should not be tracking your food. All right, what's up, guys? So this is going to be a super, super quick training around three ways to tell that you should not be, or three ways to know that you shouldn't be tracking your food. So the reason why I wanted to do this is because everything that we do here at PCC is very individualized. So we have a lot of clients that track their food. We have a lot of clients that don't. And you'll notice that, like, in the testimonial videos that we post and our clients that talk about their experience in the program, there's literally some people that are like, I haven't touched any tracking in my life, and that's okay because I still have guidance with that. And then there's clients who track all their macros because that's what they want and they need to reach their goals. So it really just depends, and depends on who you are, what works best for you, what clicks in your brain. But there are a couple of red flags that we use to determine who should really not be tracking their food out the gate. So the first reason here is going to be if it's making you think about food all day, every day, and it's giving you anxiety, and you're constantly worried about what you could or couldn't eat, what you should or shouldn't eat, what's going to fit in your calories or not, or macros or not. If this is something you're constantly ruminating over, it's most likely a reason and a tell-all sign that you shouldn't be tracking your food. Now, there's some caveats to this. What this can usually mean, because we have a lot of clients that come to us that are like, I've tracked calories, I hate it. It's like I have such an awful relationship with it. But the only history that they have is that they've tracked their calories like at like 1200 or like 1300 or 1400. Of course, you're going to hate it. It's restrictive, and it's not going to show you what balance looks like because there's barely anything you can fit in that, right? So usually when we come across clients like this, calories are usually too low, whether it's from an app recommendation or like a Noom sort of thing or like a Weight Watcher sort of thing. But this happens all the time where people think they have a really, really poor relationship with tracking their food because they have done something very restrictive. Now, the story changes when we're eating like our maintenance calories, like 1800, 2000, 2200 calories for women is like typically where maintenance ends up being for a lot of women. So that feels a lot different tracking that versus tracking low calories. But if you are somebody who maybe you've tried tracking 2000 calories a day as your target and you're still overwhelmed and ruminating and thinking all the time about it, then that is definitely a tell-all sign that it's probably not right for you. So that is sign number one. Sign number two is when tracking makes you feel more restricted rather than more free. For a lot of people that come from an upbringing of like food rules, good foods, bad foods, meal plans, all that stuff, typically tracking macros can oftentimes give people the feeling of like they actually feel like they have more freedom because they for a while wrote off certain foods. They said, I couldn't do X, Y, and Z. I couldn't eat this without feeling guilty. So a lot of times tracking gives people more freedom rather than less when they start tracking their food and they realize like, I can fit all these things in. I was actually just talking to a client yesterday And she was basically saying how, like, she thought that when she was dieting, like for fat loss, she would have to just cut everything out. And that was her perception of it. When in reality, it's simply just, you know, when she's dieting, she can still have a cookie here and there, but it's just how many and how often that's warranted is different, but she can still have it in her dieting phase and in her maintenance. So when you feel more restricted rather than more free with your macros, I mean, there's a time and a place for that if you are dieting. But a lot of times, again, what happens when people feel more restricted than more free is calories are too low. And this again happens from the MyFitnessPal recommendations. It happens from shitty coaches who give out 12, 13, 1400 calorie meal plans or macros to just get some quick results and see a quick turnaround in someone's weight loss so that they can advertise and make more cash. But what they don't realize that they're doing is they're perpetuating that restrictive mindset with macros. And just basically doing the same thing that a meal plan would do, the same thing that food rules would do, without, like, with a different framework. And it just leaves people feeling so distraught and restricted and upset afterwards, because they were like, I thought this was going to be this awesome freeing thing, but instead I ended up feeling more and more and more restricted. So a lot of times, like, crappy apps and coaches and stuff will kind of assign things too low. And so if you're feeling really, really restricted rather than having more freedom when you're tracking, compared to food rules that you've had in the past, that may be a sign that it's not right for you. But again, I would emphasize experimenting with a higher calorie intake. You know, anything for a lot of women north of like 1700 is starting to be in like a good range. And that's a very general statement. It's not individualized, but I would say experiment with how you feel tracking at higher calories and see if you can repair that relationship. But if not, like, it's just really probably not the best fit for you. And then finally, the third reason is pretty obvious, but I have to say it, is if you have a history of binge and disordered eating habits and patterns, it's probably a sign that you shouldn't be tracking your food, especially if these things are recent. And the biggest thing with this is just assessing that history with a medical professional, whether that is a therapist who specializes in the area, or somebody who could tell you, like, are your thought patterns and tendencies really in the place for you to be tracking or not? Because obviously tracking your food can be very, very valuable and helpful for a lot of people. But if you are someone who is very vulnerable to falling into those tendencies, be honest with yourself. There's a lot of other ways that you can reach your goals. A lot of habit-based approaches, mindful eating, intuitive eating-based approaches that are probably going to be right for those types of people. So if that is something that applies to you and you feel like you still even struggle with like bits and pieces of that, I would definitely say be wary of tracking your food. And if you are going to do it, make sure you are working with a licensed professional on the mental health side of things while you experiment with that. And I would say the same thing applies for the reasons number one and two, low calories plus tracking. When people like start out with it, it typically doesn't work out very well in those contexts. So if you have that history and you're going to start tracking anyways, and you're working with a professional on it, then start with high calories and see if it brings you more freedom than restriction. And like with the reason number two, and if you can find that and you are feeling better rather than worse, less anxious rather than more, then, you know, that maybe it could be a good fit. And so I think what I wanted to really get into with these three reasons, you know, being anxious, thinking about food a lot, feeling more restricted than free, and history of disordered eating, all of these things are not black and white rules of you absolutely cannot track your food. It's more so like, here's some signs and some red flags that we should be aware of. And then if we kind of cover our bases in terms of how can we like make this as healthy as possible, if you're still having trouble, then it's definitely probably not going to be a good fit. But it's just, these are red flags that are raised. And if they are raised, then you should be extra wary when you're jumping into tracking your food, and maybe try using some mindful eating approaches instead. Yeah, I think especially when it comes to just like how most people approach tracking, most people that get into it will download an app, go with its recommendations. The recommendations are going to be really low. And so usually the anxiety comes from like social anxiety, like, oh, I have to go out to eat, but I only have like 300 calories left, right? Like, how am I supposed to fit this in? Or I have my macro targets and I know I'm going to go over if I do X, Y, and Z. So just getting like really anxious about food and worry about, you know, can I fit this in? What can I fit in? Kind of constantly ruminating about what you're going to eat next, because like, you're so limited that like, it's first in mind. And that's a survival instinct that we have as humans, right? Like, if we are limited on food, our brains are going to be more attuned to thinking about food because we want more of it. And like, that's something that when we go into like an intentional fat loss phase, we have to be wary of, because it will happen. And that's just an instinct that we have. And it's okay to an extent, especially if you're doing it with proper guidance, but especially for people who do try to attempt fat loss on their own and they go really aggressive and they end up just worrying and worrying and worrying about all things they can't eat, it usually just causes more stress than the restriction can cause good. And then we end up retaining water and weight anyways, because we're just too stressed. So if you're, the more intentional you're trying to be with fat loss or weight loss, the more accurate you want to be, because it's a very intentional time frame, right? It's like, we have a goal, we're working towards it. We're going to do everything in our power to make sure we move towards it, right? So in a fat loss or weight loss phase, you want to be as accurate as possible. That's not to say to bring your food scale to dinner. Please don't do that. But what you did was great, where like, you kind of eyeballed, estimated, you found out later that your estimate was actually pretty on point. When you eat out, there's really, you have to just do your best. And that's what we emphasize here, is like, you're not gonna like gain 3 pounds over misestimating something at dinner, right? Like, you're gonna be a little bit off and it's probably not gonna cause a huge difference. But the point is, you're being accountable. And this is something that a lot of people who track their food get way too caught up on. And it actually causes them so much more frustration that they end up quitting tracking their food, right? So if you're logging, just know that if you go out to eat and you're giving your best guess at something, that is more than okay. And you're just going to get better and better and better and better at doing that the more you practice, right? The more you log, the more you're going to understand, what does this portion size look like? How do I get better at logging this? How do I get more accurate? Just by like doing, just by practicing. So in a fat loss phase, you want to try to estimate as close as you can. And if you are eating out, just overestimating a little bit is going to cover your bases, and just being careful with that. And then if you are in a maintenance phase, or you're trying to build muscle and you're being more flexible, then being accurate is just going to be not less and less important. Like, you still want to cover your bases, but you might not need to do that overestimation. And even if you go over your macros or your calories one day, like, it's not going to be a big deal, because maintenance is just very fluid. Like, you're just going to go with the ebbs and flows of it. And as long as you're managing your habits, you'll be able to keep your weight in a pretty stable range. All right. Well, that is that. I appreciate you guys for being here for a quick little chat. And I hope you guys all have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something from it. Please remember that Christina and I are not medical professionals, so if you're going to make any changes to your exercise or nutrition routines, please consult with your doctor or medical team first. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast.